Luke chapter 2, and our text for the evening is the verse 8. Luke 2 and verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." We sang the 23rd Psalm tonight. We're all very familiar with that psalm. It is, of course, known as the Shepherd's Psalm. And David was able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." And that person is blessed indeed, who is able to repeat those words from the heart and be able to say, "Truly, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The Lord Jesus Christ himself, of course, referred to himself as a shepherd. He said in John 10 and verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So David wrote about the shepherd. And the Lord Jesus speaks of himself as being the good shepherd. So when the Lord Jesus came into the world, he did so as the shepherd savior. "I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He loved his sheep so much that he was prepared to lay down his life for his sheep. Once again, mark the words, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He died for his sheep. And all who have trusted him as Savior can truly say, "The Lord is my Savior, yea, the Lord is my shepherd Savior." Because he gave his life for us. So Christ being spoken of as a shepherd, is it interesting then that when Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, the first people to look into the face of the Lord God made flesh, the first people, apart from Mary and Joseph, were shepherds. Shepherds. Shepherds came to see the shepherd. Shepherds came to see the good shepherd. Shepherds came to see the chief shepherd, as we read in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. And the shepherds that night came to see the great shepherd, spoken of by Paul in Hebrews 13 and 20. He's the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the great shepherd. And so in many ways, that night and around the manger was a meeting of the shepherds with the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the center of attention. Should always be the center of attention. So here we have the meeting of the shepherds. I want to look at this meeting tonight. We notice, first of all, the message for the shepherds. The shepherds certainly were greatly privileged and blessed to be the first to receive the message that the Christ child had come in to the world. Here we see then God's providence. God's providence. We are told about the circumstances which brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. For there in the chapter 2, in the opening verses, we read, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So that is what brought Mary and Joseph and the soon-to-be-born Christ child, that's what brought them to Bethlehem. Now we look in the verses 6 and 7. Look at verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, mark the words, while they were there, that is Mary and Joseph, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now look at the next verse. And there were in the same country. And so you can join the words of verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, and the verse 8, and there were in the same country. See how in the providence of God, Mary and Joseph and the Christ child were brought to meet the shepherds, and the shepherds were brought to meet Mary and Joseph and the Christ child. While they were there, right there where the shepherds were, there you have the providence of God. In the providence of God, the shepherds were in and around near the same place that the Christ child was born. Look there in verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Had they, those shepherds, been in some other field, in some other area, they would not have been given this message. But there they were in the same country. There they were near to where Mary and Joseph were. While they were there, in verse 6, and there were in the same country. There's the providence of God. Surely in the providence of God that the shepherds were there in that particular field and so were given this wonderful message about the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Wonderful message. In the providence of God, the shepherds were given that message. If you think back to when the gospel message was brought to you, when you think back, if you can remember back to when you first heard the gospel, think about the events surrounding that moment and time when you were given the gospel. Think about the events that led up to you receiving the gospel message. And surely, you would rejoice in the providence of God. If you thought about it, you could say, well, now, if I was somewhere else, I wouldn't have received the gospel. If I was somewhere else, I wouldn't have been invited to come to church and hear the word. If I was somewhere else, nobody would have spoken to me about the Lord. God's providence. And it was the providence of God that brought the message to these shepherds, because there they were in the same country. How can we claim it was anything else but the providence of God that brought us into contact with the gospel message, and the providence of God that had the message of Jesus, our Savior, preached unto us. We have been looking at remarkable conversions in the Scriptures. And providence of God we've seen nearly in all those events. Remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, the little man. But isn't it interesting that Jesus, we're told, passed through Jericho. And Zacchaeus was on the very road that the Lord Jesus walked when he came out of Jericho. It's the providence of God. Zacchaeus could have been somewhere else. The Lord Jesus may have walked some other road. But no, Zacchaeus was in the very road that the Lord Jesus walked as he came out of Jericho. And then we have considered the jailer in Philippi and how he and his family were saved. You think of the providence of God there. How did the jailer be given the gospel message? God's providence. Paul and Silas were arrested, they were severely beaten, and they were cast into prison, and they were given into the hands or the charge of one man, this jailer. It could have been somebody else. But there was Paul and Silas, and they had been beaten and jailed, and the jailer took them and put them into the inner prison. And then there was the earthquake. After Paul and Silas had prayed and praised the Lord, there was the earthquake, and it awakened the jailer, not only physically, but spiritually. And he came unto Paul and said, "What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." He was given the message. And God's providence, that jailer, who under normal circumstances would not have been given the gospel message by Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas had to be put in prison for the jailer to be saved and be given the gospel. We can see how God's providence had a part in the shepherds being told about the Christ child. As well as God's providence, we have here a glorious proclamation. Glorious proclamation. What a wonderful message the shepherds received. Again, looking at verse 10, "And the angel said unto them," so it's personal, "said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings." Isn't that what the gospel is? The word gospel means glad tidings, good tidings. And here, if you like, the shepherds were given the gospel. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." And there you have a glorious proclamation. We see, first of all, regarding this glorious proclamation, that it was a message from heaven. It was heaven's message, because an angel delivered it. It was heaven's message. The message that the shepherds were given about the Christ child came from heaven. Likewise, all who hear the gospel message and have the gospel preached unto them receive a message from heaven. If the man in the pulpit who's preaching the word is true to the blood and true to the book, he's delivering a message from God. He's delivering a message from heaven. And there could be no doubting that this message came from God, from heaven, because the angel delivered it. And when ministers preach the gospel, they deliver a message that has come from God. The man will get into his study, will spend time with the Lord, and look into the Word, and asked the Lord to give him a word for the people on the Sabbath day. And when he stands in the pulpit and preaches the word, he's preaching a word he has received from God. The shepherds that night received a message from God. Received a message from God, and what a glorious proclamation it was. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. There you have heaven's message. You notice there in the words we've just read, you have the heart of the message. What is the heart of the message? Unto you that is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. There's the heart of the message. A Saviour which is Christ the Lord. Christ was the centre, the heart of the message. That's the heart of the gospel message. The Lord Jesus Christ, a Saviour which is Christ the Lord. That's the gospel. That's the glad tidings. That's the good news, that a Saviour has come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And a gospel without a Saviour is a gospel without a heart. If you don't have a heart, there's nothing there, there's no life there. And so the message without Christ doesn't have a heart. A gospel that has no Christ, it is not the gospel at all. Not at all. It must always be the message that the angel delivered, that Paul delivered, whenever he said, "We preach Christ." That's the heart. That's the heart of the message. It's the heart of the gospel. We preach Christ and Him crucified. That was the message the shepherds received. And they were given the heart of the gospel, a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. We have not only God's providence and the glorious proclamation, we have also a great promise. Look at the words of verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That'll be the sign unto you. You would hardly expect to find a babe in a manger. But that's what the shepherds were told. But the words I want you to notice, and what the angel said, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." That's a great promise. "You shall find." That's the promise. That's the promise of the gospel. "Ye shall find the babe. And ye shall find the Saviour. He'll be there, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." In other words, the angel was saying to the shepherds, when you go and seek the Saviour, you'll not seek Him in vain. Because he said, "Ye shall find him." That's the promise. "Ye shall find, ye shall find." The angel didn't say, "You may find." No, the angel said, "Ye shall find." That's the promise. They would not seek for the Christ child and seek in vain. When you think of it, that's the appeal of the gospel. That's the appeal of the gospel. That's the gospel appeal. The gospel of Christ is preached. And sinners are told, you can find the Saviour. And he'll find you. You'll not seek Christ and seek him in vain. The Saviour presents no difficulties to sinners seeking him for salvation. No. It's not the Saviour who presents the difficulties. It's the sinner. The sinner's the one that creates the difficulties. Because the sinner will say, no, the Lord wouldn't have me. I'm too vile. I'm too sinful. I have done this and done the other thing. And they present the difficulties. They put up the barriers. The Lord doesn't put up any barriers. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And here we have the shepherds been told, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. No, the Lord doesn't hide from the seeking sinner. The Spirit of God works in the sinner's heart and is drawn to Christ. He will find Christ. Ye shall find. That was the promise. The promise of the gospel. Ye shall find the Saviour. As well as the message for the shepherds, we notice then, secondly, the mission of the shepherds. The mission that the shepherds embarked upon was to go and seek the Christ child. And so we read in verse 15. Again, keep in mind, the angel said, ye shall find the babe. In verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, exactly as they had been told. So there you have their mission. Their mission was to go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which had come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto them. That was their mission. You'll notice, regarding this mission that the shepherds embarked upon, you notice they accepted the word. That is, they accepted the word the angel had given to them. Because, again we read in verse 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. And so, they accepted the word that had been given to them. You don't read of them standing there and wondering, is this true? You don't read of them standing there and quarrelling over the matter? No. They said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this great event which has taken place. And they came with haste and they found the babe. They found him. No questioning anything the angel had said unto them. Oh, how we wish that many today would follow the example of those shepherds. Oh, that they would follow the shepherds' example and just willingly and readily receive the word of God as it is preached unto them about Christ. But many do not. Many sit under the preaching, faithful preaching of the word of God, and they do it for years and years and years. The angel had only to tell the shepherds once. And what did the shepherds do? Let us now go. They accepted the word that had been given to them. No questions. No doubts, no fears. As Peter said in Acts 24 and verse 4, we read about Peter in Acts 4 and 24, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. That's what the shepherds did. They heard the word and they believed. Like the shepherds, they believed when they heard the word. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, we read about Philip. When they believed Philip preaching, there's the word. They believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom. They believed. When the word was preached to them, they believed. Whenever the shepherds were given the word from the angel, they believed. They went unto Bethlehem. Oh, that others would believe the word when it is preached unto them. Oh, that they would believe what the word says about Christ, the cross and salvation. Oh, that they would believe what the word has to say about heaven, about hell, about judgment. But they just dismissed the word. The shepherds didn't. The shepherds didn't dismiss the word. They accepted the word. Not only do we see the shepherds and they accepted the word, but we see the shepherds acted upon the word. We see what the shepherds did upon receiving the word about the Christ child. What they did whenever they were told about the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They were told, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And so they acted upon that word. Again, as we read there in the verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. There you have, they acted upon the word. They said, let us go. No, they said, let us now go. And then we read, and they came with haste, verse 16. So they didn't waste any time. So many people waste time when they're given the gospel message. They waste time. Instead of believing the word as it is preached unto them, they waste time. What do they say? I'll wait until next week. I'll wait, like one of old, for a more convenient season. I'll wait till I'm older. No, shepherds didn't say that. Instead, the shepherds said, let us now go. They responded to the word immediately upon hearing it. And we are told in the verse 16, and they came with haste. Remember when we talked a few weeks ago about Zacchaeus? There he was up the sycamore tree. And the Lord saw him. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And the next verse says, and he made haste. He was given the message. He was told to make haste and come down, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Luke 19, verses 5 and 6. This in stark contrast to those who have heard the word 1,000 times, spent years hearing the word, receiving the message given to them. Still they sit at ease in their sin, follow their sinful ways, but never do as the disciples, as the shepherds did. Never seek Christ. The shepherds did not say, well, it's night, we'll leave it until the morning. No, they didn't say that. They didn't say, we'll wait till the next day, we'll wait until tomorrow. No, they said, let us now go. We need to go now. They did not say, let us wait a while. No, they said, let us now go. And something else they didn't say. They didn't say, we can go now. What about the sheep? Who's going to look after the sheep? We can't leave the sheep here in the middle of the night. No, they didn't even allow that to get in their way. They said, let us now go. They reckoned that seeking and finding Christ was more important. As far as the shepherds were concerned that night, the most important thing for them was to seek the Christ child. Again, oh, that others would follow their example. Many, many allow business to get in their way of them seeking the Lord. Like maybe I told you before, my first church as a student minister, there was a little convenience store in the town that we would have frequented quite often, got to know the lady who owned the store. And one day a tragic event happened to that woman. Her son was killed in a car accident. I remember going down to the store a few days later. And I was sitting in the car, and this lady, the owner of the shop, she came out, she saw me in the car and called me in. She knew I was a minister. I went into the little office at the back and opened her heart to what had happened about her son. I exhorted her to receive Christ. I told her the only comfort she would find would be in the Lord Jesus Christ, and pleaded with her to accept the Lord. And she wouldn't. Know why? She told me, she says, I do things in running my business that I know is not right. And she'd rather continue on that way in running her business than receive the Lord Jesus as her Savior. How sad. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And that dear woman put her business before the Lord. She wouldn't accept Christ because she went the way she ran her business. She knew she did things that was underhand and weren't right, but she'd rather continue on that way than have done with that way of living and receive the Lord as her Savior. Shepherds didn't allow the sheep to hinder them from coming and seeking Christ. Let us now go. They accepted the word. They acted upon the word. And then you'll notice their acknowledgement of the word. What do we mean? They knew this message had been given to them by an angel. But we see that the shepherds acknowledged that the word that they had been given was the word of the Lord. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They acknowledged the Lord had given them this word. May have been an angel that came and stood by them. But they acknowledged this word had come from the Lord, that which the Lord hath made known unto us. This was the Lord's word. They acknowledged that they had received a word from the Lord. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Good when you get a word from the Lord. So when a man opens the book and delivers the word from the book, the hearer ought to acknowledge they are being given a word from the Lord. It's the Lord's word. And a word from God ought to be heeded. And the shepherds got a word from the Lord and they heeded that word. Let us now go. And they came with haste. See, they acted upon the word, because they knew it was a word from the Lord. It was more, as it were, than a word from an angel. It's a word from the Lord. Angel means messenger. The messenger had come and given them the word, but they acknowledged it wasn't just a word from the angel, it was a word from God. So they had to go. So we have considered tonight the message for the shepherds, considered the mission of the shepherds. Finally, we have the ministry of the shepherds. No sooner did the shepherds find the Christ child, they wanted to tell others about their great find, the Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. You look in verse 17. Verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen, notice the word it is in italics. We're not talking about a thing, we're talking about a person. And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They made known abroad. There's their ministry. Yes, they were shepherds. They cared for sheep. But they also made it their business to tell others about finding the Christ child. Notice, first of all, their readiness. Their readiness. We see that they did not waste any time telling others. It is so true. When anyone meets and receives Christ as Savior, and Christ comes into their life and into their heart, and their sins have been forgiven, they want to tell others. I was saved on the Monday night, the 5th of May, 69. The next morning I went into work, went round everybody and told them, I got saved last night. I wanted to tell them. That's what the shepherds did. They made that their ministry, to tell others about the Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. You go over to John's Gospel, chapter 1. And this gospel, in many ways, is the latter part of it, is about telling others. And we read in John 1, verse 37, And the two disciples heard John speak, and they followed Jesus. John had said, Behold the Lamb of God. And two disciples of John, who heard him speak, they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and said, saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They say unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And we read then, he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two, which heard John speak, and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Look at verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. He didn't waste any time. He spent a while with Christ, and what did he do? Andrew went and told Peter, his brother. First thing he did. You go on down the chapter, John, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Then Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Andrew met Christ, and he immediately went and told Peter. Philip found Christ, he immediately went and told Nathanael. Didn't waste any time. He made that their business. They made that their business. That was their ministry. And of course it developed later on. And they told many people about Christ. But you see the point. When the shepherds found the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, they went and told others. When you come to know Christ, you have to tell others. You want to tell others. So we notice their readiness. We notice, secondly, their report. We are told what the shepherds said in their report to others in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. In verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They went out, and that was their report. They told others about Christ. Notice there that verse 17. And when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They didn't go out and tell others about Mary. They didn't go out and tell others about Joseph. They went out and told others about Christ. They told others about this child. And again, there again, there is the heart of the gospel. They weren't interested in telling any other thing, any other matter, other than telling others about Christ. Made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child, concerning Christ. That was their only message. That was their report. We noticed their readiness. Then we noticed their rejoicing. They're rejoicing. For we read in verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds, and so their word had an effect. People wondered at what they'd been told. They'd been faithful in telling the story. Now what it says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds, in the verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. They were faithful in the telling. Didn't alter it. The word the Lord gave them, that's the word they told. What they saw, that's what they told. And we are told that they returned to the sheep, glorifying and praising God. See? It's impossible to find Christ, to know Christ, to accept Christ, and not to be filled with joy and thanksgiving. You remember the man at the gate beautiful in Acts 3? The disciples said unto him, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man at the gate beautiful rose up and walked, and he leapt and he jumped for joy, praising God for what Christ had done for him. Let us follow the example of the shepherds in so many ways. And what we have learned about the shepherds tonight, let's follow their example. And let us tell others about what and who we have seen and what we have heard and what has been told unto us by the Lord. The meeting of the shepherds, and what a meeting it was. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O dear Lord, we rejoice in Christ the Good Shepherd, Christ the Chief Shepherd, Christ the Great Shepherd, and how those shepherds in the field that night rejoiced greatly that they had met and seen the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. We know, Lord, that no one can meet Christ and come to know Him as Savior and not rejoice. Rejoice that sins have been forgiven, and rejoice that Christ is their Savior. Lord, write the word upon our hearts tonight. Bless us, Lord, as we make our way home, and be with us, Lord, over this week and others of our church family when they get together with members of their family circle. May it be a blessed time. Remember Mrs. Cairns, Lord, as she makes her way home on Thursday. We pray, Lord, Thou will grant her traveling mercy. Be with us now, the rest of this evening. Give us a good night's rest. Help us to rise tomorrow to spend another day serving Thee. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now, forevermore. Amen.